I normally, for an evening like this, prepare something specifically for the young people. I forgot this week it was going to be Children's Day and prepared a regular sermon, but I think we'll change gears here a little bit. Would you go to Psalm 119, verse 9? Cleansing my way. Psalm 119, we're going to look at verses 9 through 16. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for our young people, each and every one. I pray that you will continually work in their hearts. We've heard their professions of faith. We see their heart for you and their diligence in studying your word and in their willingness to serve you among us here. I pray that you will help them to grow so that when they become adults, they will stay on the right path and follow you all their days. As we look into your word, just have a few thoughts. Help us to understand and apply these things to our lives. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 119, verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By implication, the way needs to be cleansed. Scripture says in Proverbs, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Child doesn't need to be taught to be foolish. Child doesn't need to be taught to do things that are wrong. It comes natural with the sin nature, which each and every person is born with. You can't escape it. We inherited it from Adam. We can blame him. It's his fault. But we have it. And so we have to deal with it. And if you don't deal with it, then you're going to have some serious answering to God for it. So it asks the question, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? And it gives the answer by taking heed thereto according to thy word. It's a very simple thing. God has said things in this book. And we use those listening skills we talked about this morning. Listening to the word of God and taking heed to what God has said. So notice what this young man has done in verse 10. With my whole heart have I sought thee. This young man has already sought the Lord. So his request is this. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. The word commandments, as it's used in Psalm 119, refers to the specific rules and regulations of which the law consists. God has a law. I know we're not under the Mosaic law, but this whole book is a law. It's what God expects of us in our daily lives. And the implication is that this person is now walking in light of the commandments, and he asks, let me not wander from thy commandments. How many young people get grounded in good local churches, go away to colleges, move away for a job, get influenced by the wrong things and wander from the commandments of God? It's not enough just to grow up in the church. You need to take the things that you learn as a young people and carry them with you into adulthood. I mentioned that verse, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. A lot of children never have the foolishness driven from their hearts, and they grow up as adults and continue to be very, very foolish. We want the opposite to be true of your lives as young people, to be grounded in the truths of the words of God, to understand his specific expectations of your life on a daily basis, and for you to carry that with you into adulthood. Not to think of your Christianity as a childhood experience, and now it's time to become an adult and have adult experience, which causes you to wander off. Understand, you, even as a believer, you still have that sin nature contaminating your body, and that tendency to wander is always there. Remember Isaiah chapter 53, all we like sheep have gone astray? That tendency to wander, that temptation to want to experience things. Some people call it a bucket list. I'm not sure what a bucket list is. I don't know where it came from. I've only heard that term. But I think it's a list of things people want to do before they die or something like that. I don't know. So you make a list of things you want to do before you die. Be careful what you put on that list. So that you don't wander from God's specific expectations of your life. So he says, in order to make that effective, in verse 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. That recording exercise we talked about this morning, remember? You read, you hear, you record that in your heart so that you can hear it over and over again as it's with you. Notice the effect of hiding the word of God in your heart, that I might not sin against thee. I believe personally that there is available in the word of God a statement by God to counteract every temptation in life. But you have to know what those statements are. Some of them are tucked away in the Proverbs. Some of them are tucked away in the Psalms. Some are spelled out in the New Testament letters to the church. You can find even some of them tucked away in the Old Testament law as principles. But every temptation in life can be counteracted if you have the proper word of God stored in your heart so that when the temptation comes, that part of the word of God comes up and blocks you from doing something you shouldn't be doing. He says, that's the reason I hide the word of God in my heart. I hid the word of God in my heart that I might not sin against you. That's the value of the word of God. It can actually block you from doing something you shouldn't be doing. There's this thing called the conscience, and the word of God programs the conscience. There are people in this world that don't seem to have a conscience. And the Bible warns us about that. There will come a time when people will call good evil, and they'll call evil good. And that's happening today. That's the day in which we're living. Their consciences have been corrupted. But if we can program our conscience with the word of God, Romans chapter 2 explains to us that the value of the conscience is that if we do something we shouldn't be doing, it accuses us, and if we do something right, it excuses us. And so when we are tempted to do something wrong, the Word of God pops up from the recording in our heart and says, "That's wrong. I'm going to accuse you if you do it." Hide the Word of God in your heart, and it will block you from doing things you shouldn't do. So he says in verse 12, "Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes." The word statutes in the context here refers to the ceremonial regulations. You know, all the elements of worship in the Old Testament. If we make the application today, it's important for young people to know how to worship God. We've never had children's church here above kindergarten. Why is that? Because years ago, my wife and I came to the conviction that there is tremendous value of children observing adults worship. You know, we had an experience of going into a church to minister many, many years ago, like 3 centuries ago or something like that. And they had children's church before we came there. They had children's church all the way up through 6th grade. And what happened was, children entered into 7th grade, and that was the first time they ever experienced an adult worship service. They didn't know how to act. There were no papers to color. There were no activities. There were no games. It was this serious worship service. And we thought there was something wrong with that. So we made the change. Reduced the ages for children's church. Brought the children into the church service. And lo and behold, by the time those children became teenagers, they knew how to worship God. Teach me thy statutes. In other words, teach me how to worship you, God. Teach me how to show you respect. Teach me how to go through the process of bringing glory and honor to your name. Verse 13, with my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. Judgments. In other words, practical application of moral and civil law to human activity and relationships. Practical application. That's what we need. As we study the Word of God, you hear me pray sometimes before a message. Help us not only to understand what it means, but how it applies to our lives. That's significant. How does the Word of God apply to practical situations in life? You need to learn that, know that. So that when you find yourself in a situation where you have to make a choice, you have to make a decision, you understand where the Word of God is coming from on that particular issue. And you can use that information to decide. Do I go to my unsaved friend's party or not? When my friends offer me something that I'm unfamiliar with, do I go along with them and partake? or do I refuse? There are lots of practical situations in life that we need wisdom. And he says, I have declared all thy judgments with my mouth. He is able to rehearse in the ears of God that he knows how God wants him to decide about things in life. That's an important exercise. Why do we tell God things that he already knows? When we pray, why do we tell God things that he already knows? Because it confirms for him that we know what he knows. Verse 14, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much in on all riches. A lot of the testimonies in the Word of God turn out to be biographical sketches of people's lives. You know, God has put a lot of testimonies of people's lives in the Bible. And I love to preach on those narrative passages that describe the lives, especially of the faithful people who set a wonderful example for us. Know their testimonies. The testimonies that God has presented, or at the same time, the word testimonies can refer to God expressing himself and declaring things about himself. For example, when he says in the book of Isaiah, I know the end from the beginning. In other words, he's saying, in the beginning, I know how it's all going to turn out. You know, that can be a tremendous encouragement to you if you understand that concept. When you start out on a new venture in your life, you don't know what's coming, but God does. He already knows the end. So, what we see in verses 9 through 14, that he has done some things. Verse 10, I have sought thee. Verse 11, I have hid thy word in my heart. In verse 13, I have declared all thy judgments. And in verse 14, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies. And notice in verses 15 and 16, he changes. And now he says, I will. Based on the things that I have done, now I look to the future. What am I going to do from this point forward? Here you are at this point in your lives, whatever age you are, graduating from high school, or just getting ready to go into junior high school. You can look back and you can say, I have done this. I have memorized the scripture. I have attended Sunday school faithfully. I have done these things. But now, where do you go from here? Verse 15, I will meditate in thy precepts. The word precepts refers to divine mandates which emphasize man's obligations to obey. Precepts. The things that God expects you to obey. No option here. So I will meditate on those things. I will not only record them in my heart, but I will play them over and over again in my mind, and I will think about them, and I will digest them, and I will try to understand them, because I not only want to understand what God wants me to do, I want to understand why. And when I get the point, I know I'll be faithful to him. And I'll have respect unto his ways. He has a plan for your life. Did you know that? Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, that you may be able to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The will of God, something God wants for you. He desires this for you. He doesn't impose it upon you, but he desires it for you. Can we respect God's will for our lives? No, I want to choose my own way. I have ideas about what I want to do. Do you know, when I was a teenager, 13, 14, 15 years old, I wanted to be a conductor of an orchestra. That was my desire. I loved classical music. I would listen to it and direct it. I had an uncle that, a cousin, I guess he was, who's old enough to be my uncle, but he was a cousin, went to Peabody Conservatory of Music down in Baltimore. I thought that was a wonderful idea. I can go there and learn to be a conductor of orchestras. Wonderful. You know, I'm proud to go out on the stage and everybody's watching me do this and that. And then one day, God said to me, as long as you go, not an audible voice, you understand what I'm saying. I didn't hear a voice, but the message was perfectly clear. As long as I go my way, I can't serve him. I need to turn and go his way. And when I gave in to that, it changed everything. Verse 16, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will love to worship God. And I will not forget thy word. All my life, it will be what I will think about. All my life, it will be what I will make as the priority of my life. His word. Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. This has been the passion of my heart for most of my life. Romans 15:4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. I want to learn it, because if I know it, it will have a tremendous impact upon my life. I will love his word. I'll never forget it. It becomes the passion of my life. As you face tomorrow, where will you go? What will you choose? What will you do? Cleanse your way or wander off? You do have a choice. You can choose to do either. But I hope with all my heart that you young people will desire God's blessing in your life, and you will choose to cleanse your way so that you won't wander off. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for this passage of Scripture and the lessons it teaches us. May these be truths that will penetrate the hearts of our young people, in fact, penetrate all of our hearts, so that we will bring glory to your name each and every day of our lives. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.